The website Career Builder says social workers make a lasting impact on communities, from helping individuals navigate their lives to designing and making recommendations to fix local issues. They speak for those who cannot speak for themselves and empower communities and individuals. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. Until recently, those in Yuma and other parts of our region had little choice if they wanted to pursue a career in social work. While Northern Arizona University offers a bachelor's in social work, post-secondary options meant traveling out of town for practical field work until last year. Today, we'll hear more about an Arizona State University Master's in Social Work program that is Yuma-based, opening the door for local students interested in continuing their higher education, but ideally also helping fill a gap in the social support networks within our community. My guests today are Stephanie Ordaz-Acosta, an MSW student who's about halfway through her year-long program, and Brett Peterson, a professor of social work at ASU and master's program coordinator for Yuma.
Brett, let's start with you. And it's a basic question because I think people have perhaps an outdated or in media-informed view of what social work means or what a social worker is. Help us define the parameters of what it is to be in social work, because it's pretty varied.
Yes, I think that is the key. Social work is a very broad occupation and a very broad field. In social work, we can work at the micro end or individually with individuals. A lot of therapists that you see in community agencies, a lot of therapists that have private practices will have their licensed, they'll be a licensed clinical social worker. So part of what social work is to provide individual therapy for people in a one-on-one setting or for small groups in families. But then social work also combines with the macro. So a lot of the community organizing and the work and the advocacy done to change laws are also done with social work. What's really great when you work with a social worker, whether it's a macro working and organizing or working individually, is they have the perspective of how systems work together, how the environment and people's own history all kind of combine to work. So social workers are really, really, really adept at helping people because they understand the person and then the environment in which they function in.
Break down the knowledge base for me, because that's interpersonal communication. That's an understanding of demographics. That's a crisis response training. That's an understanding of the social conditions of the community you're involved with. Break it down a little bit.
Yeah. So on the individual level, it's understanding the basic theories of human development and therapeutic modalities. But then, as you pointed out, Lou, it's really understanding that in the context of the environment. So in the context of structural racism, in the context of the community, and the needs of the community and the economic resources that are available or not available to that community. So it's really understanding, because someone can come to therapy and we can teach them all the techniques of breathing and relaxing and reframing their thoughts. But if the issue is that they're facing, racism at work, you can't breathe that away. You can't rethink that away. So it's understanding how we work with systems to help clients meet their goals, and then to help change larger systems to be more equitable.
I spoke last week with a local mental health provider, and he told me that our community, while there are a lot of services in place, it lacks therapists, it lacks psychiatrists, it lacks drug treatment. Talk about a community like mine and why offering an MSW degree here might be important.
Yeah, and Lou, this is kind of why here at ASU in the School of Social Work, we're so excited to be in Yuma and providing these resources. I started out before I was the coordinator of the program as an instructor, and I noticed every year I would have two or three students in my classes from Yuma, and they would come down every week and work out or stay, or they, you know, very creative ways, go to school and then and then go home for the weekends and back and forth. And that group, along with some, and we have a great, Northern Arizona University has a great bachelor's program in social work. A lot of those upcoming students, you know, came to our director and said, hey, we want a program here. And the issue is whenever we, whenever there are programs other places, you know, students go do their interns at other internships at other places, and they end up building their professional network other places, and they rarely end up coming back to kind of where they were. So it was so important to have the program in Yuma, so those resources. And it's the whole Yuma Valley. We have students from Parker, we have students in El Centro, just that whole area. And the design here is to increase, to be able to have quality students that have spent, by the time they are done, they'll have spent over 480 hours alone in the field in internships, learning hands-on, along with the many, many hours of classwork and writing and all of that that a master's level program has. So the idea is that we are going to help increase the base of therapists and community organizers and advocates in this area.
And we'll ask Stephanie if perhaps that was an important factor in wanting to stay in this community when we get to her. But before then, what impact can a better positioned social services network, including all the factors you're mentioning there, have on a community?
When you have, you know, kind of trained professionals and kind of knowing the systems, they're able to better help people. But also a lot of the funding, a lot of the grant funding, a lot of the different programs that require, they were, in order for them to kind of dispense funds, you know, they require people with that knowledge base. And so when you have a very little knowledge base, little funds are available. When you have more people that are available to that have that knowledge base that sometimes grants and funders require, you're then able to kind of increase that program. So it's kind of twofold, bringing, you know, having people who are educated and kind of know the systems to help people, but then also it provides more resources for other resources to come in.
You mentioned ASU's sort of focus on more rural parts of Arizona. It must be really disheartening for you to hear about communities where people don't have access to even just a therapist, just that one-on-one help.
It is. And, you know, as when in designing this program, we met with stakeholders and people that were already here, because we didn't just want to come in and say, okay, this is what you need. We spent a year in preparation talking to various individuals and kind of what the community needs and how to structure that. Our Yuma program is structured and designed and tailored very specific to the needs. We have extra specific content around border issues and homelessness and the issues that face this community that we heard from community members. So I'm just, yeah, I am thrilled. And I just, Lou, when I look at our first class, we have 24 social workers that will be entering the workforce in May. I could not be more proud. These individuals have taken this opportunity seriously, and I think they will speak volumes. I think they will be the advertising for our future programs, because they are incredible individuals.
Well, let's bring Stephanie in. Stephanie, you've been sitting listening to Brett talk about sort of the impetus for this program and what the goals are. What resonates for you as you listen to that? As you guys see you nodding your head as he's talking. So what resonated for you as you were listening?
Really everything. I think that he touched on a lot of basic a lot of like things that we as students thought as well. Like we wanted an MSW program for a long time, and we always heard like, you have to go to Phoenix and you have to travel, or you have to do it online and like completely online. And we didn't want to do that. Like, I feel like that's what deterred a lot of people from doing that, just because, you know, some people aren't as available to just get up and go to Phoenix every weekend. And it's a big sacrifice just in general, just do any kind of schooling. And then when you have to like commute to it, I think that really put a damper in people's plans to get their master's degree in social work. But now that we have it, I mean, and then we have the NAU program, it's like, I mean, I came from the NAU program, so I like just funneled into the ASU program. So I think just that like system that they have going is going to be awesome, and creating new social workers and just having that be an option for people. Cause I think a couple years back, that wasn't really a viable option.
My guests today are Stephanie Ordaz-Acosta, a student in ASU's Yuma-based Masters of Social Work program, and Brett Peterson, a professor of social work at ASU and coordinator for the MSW program in Yuma. I'm Lou Gum. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. My guests today are Stephanie Ordaz-Acosta, a student in ASU's Yuma-based Masters of Social Work program, and Brett Peterson, a professor of social work at ASU and coordinator for the MSW program here in Yuma. Stephanie is part of the first class of students to take part in the program.
Talk about how you came to a choice of social work. Even in your bachelor's program, what was it that attracted you to this program?
We all have different reasons, but I think it has something to do with like your life experiences. I definitely had a lot of life experiences where I needed a social worker, and either there was not one around, or there were, usually it was people that were not social workers doing social work jobs. And I just felt like at first as a kid, because I was in the foster care system. So as a kid, I was just kind of upset. I was like, well, why are these people trying to help me? They end up doing more harm. And then growing up, I was like, well, you know, I could change that. I could be somebody who actually knows like how to help the kids and how to help people who are genuinely in need of help and not just cause more problems for them. So I think that's kind of what brought me to social work, and just the realization that I could be a part of, you know, change in somebody's life or even in the community was what brought me here.
So talk about the structure of your program here in Yuma. Brett said that you're taking a lot of classes and then you're doing some field work. What does that involve?
So we do 3 classes at a time, and then because we do sessions, so we have A session and B session. So we do 3 classes at a time, one of those being the practicum. It's the internship. So you go to school, you have class on Saturday, but pretty much the whole week you're, you know, leading up to the class. So, it's really important that you do like your assignments and your readings and stuff beforehand, because if you get to Saturday and you haven't done anything, you're going to be kind of lost. And then also throughout the week, you're supposed to be doing your internship hours at the site that you have been placed at. And the internship is about 16 to like 20 hours a week. So it's like a part-time job, and it's really wherever you can find time and whatever your internship site coordinator and you have agreed upon, those are the hours that you work. I got pretty lucky, and I mean even like with the pandemic, it was already kind of hard to find internship placements. Yeah. Just because you have to have an MSW supervising you, so that's already like limited because we're in Yuma.
Second level of sort of weakness of not having that good social services network in place.
Yeah,
training the next level of those workers.
So that's another reason why I'm happy, is that we're going to be able to help them in 2 years. We're going to be able to be the field instructors for the other MSW students. But like I was saying, I got an internship where I go like in the evenings. Well, not evenings. Early afternoon. I go at 2 and then I get out at 5:30. So that works because I go every day. So that meets my hour requirement. And, some people have a little bit harder where they go all day or they have to go on like nights. And that's just another sacrifice that we do just to
Is your goal more of an interpersonal kind of therapist role that you'd like to play or more of the macro that Brett talked about earlier?
That's a funny question because I think when I was at NAU, macro work was just presented to me as like just stuff that you want to stay away from. It was like, I don't want to be writing bills. I don't want to be writing proposals for things just because it's just, I was like, I don't want to do this. This is too much. But then now in the MSW program, we do a little bit of everything because we're in the advanced generalist program. So we kind of do a little bit of everything. So they gear you up for whichever level that you want to go into. And now that I'm in the program, I kind of like the macro stuff. Like I like to read about laws and policies and like how we can change those because I feel like, I feel like I've come along and I've seen a lot of agencies and I'm like, I would change that about this agency. And I can't right now, but I could and that's macro work because you're making institutional change, it's that's going to impact the community over time. So it's like, that is macro work. So I was like, no, Stephanie, you don't like macro work. Just stay with your micro work. And then I was like, well, maybe I do. Maybe I do like both of them. So
found out you were a bit of a policy wonk after all, I guess.
Yeah, I guess now I am. Yeah. Now I actually like to do a little bit of research, kind of embarrassing, but I do. Like I sit there and I like to read the stuff that is posted in the Canvas shells. And we just started a new policy class and I was looking at the syllabus and all the policy briefs and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Whereas I don't think I would have said that a year ago.
Stephanie, put your policy wonk hat on for a second. And even though you've got a few more months left, give me a professional assessment maybe of the impact that the pandemic has had on our community in the last 6 months. You've had this sort of bird's eye view to people's lives in a way.
So for the pandemic, I think it impacted in both, I think, positive and negative ways. I think definitely the negative is obvious. People have to stay indoors, people have lost jobs, people have lost lives, loved ones, and it's been a scary time, but I've also seen that we've come together in more special ways than maybe we took for granted in the past. I feel like when the pandemic first started, I started seeing people like biking and walking outside. And I mean, even I started playing board games with our family, and we just did that almost every day. And that's something that we didn't used to do before. Obviously that's, in no way, an even trade-off for what's happening. But it does bring a little bit of light to the situation. And I feel like I keep hearing like my field instructor, she's like, if anything, this pandemic just, it's going to keep you busy once it's over. And I mean, it has even right now, and it's not over. Cause people are impacted emotionally and physically. And you can see like right now I'm at an after school program for my internship. And there's not like the level of enrollment isn't as high just because, parents are afraid to send their kids. A lot of parents themselves that come to pick up the kids, they're essential workers, they're frontline workers. And you can just see that they're so exhausted. And it's sad to see that this is happening, but I'm so happy that we have them doing that kind of work.
Brett, she sort of speaks to an industry responding to the pandemic there. Can you speak to that at all, perhaps even statewide?
Yeah. It's clear that with all of the medical response, all the first responders, all of the people working in grocery stores, that social workers are are part of that essential workforce that are helping here. And I think what social work has done really well in this time is has looked for the gaps that this has created. Domestic violence has increased during this time. Who's noticing that trend? Who's responding to that trend? Is social workers. So I think as kind of services are to be delivered and kind of that crisis response of how can we help people, social work has been in that first wave, but then social work has been part of the second wave of, okay, now what's missing? What are the, instead of closing down all programs and people can't work because the children, it's been social workers looking at how can we safely have these programs in the best we can to ensure that people livelihoods can continue. One of the most inspiring things during this and has been, especially in this profession, is seeing several examples of how people have provided services so creatively, using creative methods and very out of the box thinking. And some of these out of the box thinkings, are not going to go away. Some of this technology, when available, being able to meet via Zoom that wasn't available, that's fantastic for people who have accessibility issues, who maybe have physical ailments that can't always go out. This is now a brand new option for them. So, it's been neat to see social work's response.
I know we've just scratched the surface, but I want to thank you both for joining us this week.
Thank you, Lou.
Thank you for having us, Lou.
My guests today were Stephanie Ordaz-Acosta, a student in ASU's Yuma-based Masters of Social Work program, and Brett Peterson, a professor of social work at ASU and coordinator for the MSW program here in Yuma. Stephanie is part of the first class of students to take part in the program. That's Arizona Edition for this week. Join us next week when we talk with the head of the Arizona Nurses Association about how these vital professionals have navigated the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Lou Gumm. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. Thanks for listening.